It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent RodHunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
First, the good news. Joe Biden has promised to do something about our border. Now, the bad news. It's a promise from Joe Biden. That's right. It's time for another Joe Biden update. President Biden announced an executive order that will shut down the U.S.-Mexico border if, and only if, illegal crossings top 2,500 per day for 7 consecutive days. In other words, he's not really going to do a heck of a lot. The supposed tough protection will prevent additional illegal immigrants from applying for asylum during times of heavy crossing, but would still remove those restrictions 2 weeks after daily crossings average 1,500 per day for 7 days. Even if migration is limited to 2,500 per day, and I did say if, the number of border crossings would reach 912,500 in 1 year. Meanwhile, according to the New York Post, one of the few newspapers really willing to look at this thing honestly, hundreds of thousands more have been allowed into the U.S. using the CBP One app, with 529,250 migrants to gain admission as of the end of this month, since appointments increased to 1,450 per day last June. Biden announced the program in January 2023. Additionally, Biden has ushered roughly 360,000 more migrants per year into the country through a mass parole scheme, allowing Cubans, Haitians, Nicaraguans, and Venezuelans to fly directly to America. The New York Post was also kind enough to do the math for us. That works out to a yearly total of 1.8 million border crossers. That number also does not include hundreds of thousands of so-called gotaways who are believed to have escaped detection by law enforcement and disappeared into the interior to the tune of around 1.7 million since Biden took office. Biden, who never accepts responsibility for anything and who is never wrong, who's always doing a crackerjack job, tried to blame this border crisis on Republicans. He says, "Today I'm moving past Republican obstruction and using executive authorities available as president to do what I can on my own to address the border. There is a worldwide migrant crisis, and if the United States doesn't secure our border, there's no limit to the number of people who may try to come, because there's no better place on the planet than the United States of America." Now, the president refused to take any questions on this new decision, this sudden concern about our border that he didn't seem to have a whole lot before. And somebody shouted after him because he wasn't taking any questions. He was walking away. They said, "Why now?" He didn't answer the question, but it was a good question. Why now? Well, I can tell you why now. He's getting clobbered in the polls by Donald Trump, and the election is just 5 months away. That's why now. Meanwhile, the new so-called restrictions do have a few exceptions. They do not apply to those who use CBP 1 to cross over at a point of entry. Neither do they count toward unaccompanied children, victims of a severe form of trafficking, those who face an acute medical emergency, I'm just reading the official words, or an imminent and extreme threat to life and safety, and other non-citizens who have a valid visa or some other lawful permission to enter the United States. Now, how will we know if someone's life is being threatened? It's simple. We just ask. Did you come here because you're scared? Yeah, sure. I'm scared. That's it. I'm scared. Former Acting Customs and Border Protection Commissioner Mark Morgan told the Post, "The border will never be shut down under this executive action, but rather serve to legalize an unjustified level of open borders that will further perpetuate the chaos and lawlessness we've experienced during the entirety of the Biden administration." Then he went on to emphasize that the new order won't end catch and release of migrants, the use of parole, or enhance enforcement by ICE. House Speaker Mike Johnson, the Republican, dismissed the executive order as window dressing after the Biden administration engineered the open border. He says it was 126 days ago today that Joe Biden said, "I've done all I can do." We counted 64 specific executive actions that President Biden and Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas took to open the border wide. They did it intentionally. If he was concerned about the border, he would have done this a long time ago. So he goes out of his way to make the border insecure, then comes to Congress with a bill that supposedly would make it secure. Of course, it wasn't really going to do that. House Homeland Security Committee Chairman Mark Green, who led the impeachment push against Mayorkas earlier this year, said the order, quote unquote, maintains incentives to cross illegally because the mass catch and release remains solidly in place. Green goes on and says, even if the asylum process is temporarily halted, what will Border Patrol agents do with all those who continue arriving and don't claim asylum? They will either have to release them or detain them and remove them. And we know Biden and Mayorkas will not allow the latter. Another senior House Republican aide told the Post that the order was a matter of shifting the numbers around and moving the burden off of Border Patrol agents between ports of entry. According to the Post, since Biden entered office in January 2021, more than 9 million migrants have been recorded entering illegally nationwide, and roughly 1.7 million are known to have sneaked in without arrest. Federal authorities apprehended an average of 5,990 migrants per day on the southern border in April, according to the U.S. Customs and Border Protection, a number which does not include the known gotaways who aren't captured. Most of those arrested are then given court orders and released into the U.S. to seek asylum. Okay, let's review the chronology of this. Let's review Joe Biden's personal history with our border since taking the office of president. It's gone through a lot of changes. First, he reverses Trump's executive orders that for the most part were protecting our border as best they could. And he never asked for the authority to do that. He just did it. He said, Trump had an executive order, I'll just reverse the executive orders. So he did that. And that included terminating President Trump's Remain in Mexico policy that required most asylum seekers to wait court decisions outside of the U.S. On his first day, very first day in office, Biden halted construction of Trump's U.S.-Mexican border wall. So that's the first thing he does. Then later, as time goes on and he's asked about our border getting out of control, he says the border is secure. It's very secure. Never been better. Yeah, well, Biden says a lot of things. He also claimed to visit Nelson Mandela in prison. He claimed to march for civil rights. When he had the time to march for civil rights, I'm just not sure. Maybe in between working with segregationists like Senator Robert Byrd. Then he finally comes out and says, hey, you know what? The border isn't actually secure. And he asks Congress for authority to do something about it. Authority that he didn't seem concerned about when he was reversing Trump's executive orders. And by the way, in our Constitution, one of the jobs of the president is to protect our borders. There are inappropriate executive orders. An appropriate one is one that enforces the Constitution. So he could have closed it all along. He wouldn't have had to do much more than reverse the reversals of Donald Trump's orders. But he asks Congress for the authority, and when they didn't give it to him, he claims that the Republicans don't care about our border. Breitbart did a fact check on the bipartisan bill to secure the border, which Biden was offering. They said, the complex legal jargon in the bill minimized border barriers, mandated catch and release for migrants, protected Biden's parole backdoor for wage-cutting employers, funded more aid for migrants, and even created an asylum highway overseen by pro-migration hires. That was his bipartisan bill. Well, the Republicans didn't fall for it. Now, suddenly, amazingly, he remembers he didn't need the Republicans' authority after all. Well, let's wrap this up. If you're looking for a Reader's Digest summary that cuts through all the bullpucky, here is Biden's position on the border since taking office, including the shifts, the times the position changed. And they weren't flip-flops, mind you, just periods of evolution. Here's Joe Biden. Our border is very secure. It's never been better. I helped to make it that way by reversing executive orders from Donald Trump that protected it. Well, okay. Actually, it isn't secure. It's actually a crisis, and I want to do something to stop the crisis, but my hands are tied. I can't act unless Republicans pass my bipartisan bill. What? They won't pass my bill? Just because it mandated catch and release and created even more asylum? Fine. Then I'll do it myself. How? With an executive order. That's how. What? You want to know why I didn't use my executive power before? I did, by reversing the policies of Trump. That's how I used it before. But I'm now willing to use it again to get reelected, to secure our country. Come on, man. Give me a break. This is Bob Siegel, making the obvious obvious.
Believe it or not, Bob Siegel is aware that there may be one or two people who disagree with his opinions. To offer your own comments on the topic at hand or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, feel free to contact Bob on Facebook or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Say hello again to my producer, Brendan Thomas.
I was just talking to you off the air. Amazing how Biden switches up his flow immediately. Like, at least, you know, when Trump sometimes switches his flow, it's the next day. Like, remember, immediately after the court case, he was like, oh, I'm going to go ahead and get everyone who was against me in that court case into jail. And then the very next day, during an interview session with, I want to say...
Sean Hannity?
Sean Hannity, yes.
Actually, I've been been listening to him. And there's a difference between taking vengeance and saying, okay, you weaponized the court, so I'll weaponize the court. But if they want to say, well, the people that did things illegal, we're going to look into that, that's okay. I don't think he's ever claimed he was going to do more than that.
All I know is that he did mention, for some reason, Clinton again. I don't know why exactly.
Well, he talked about, remember when he ran the first time, the chant was lock her up, and he was saying that he would lock her up. And then when he became president, he decided not to do it. Mm-hmm. So he was gracious about something that they're not extending to him.
So he's going to go back to 4 years ago? I don't know.
Well, he was trying to say, everybody claims I'm going to go in there and seek vengeance, but hey, the first time I went in there, I could have put Hillary in jail, and I did not do it. In fact, all my supporters were constantly chanting, and he said, I don't want to put a former Secretary of State in our former First Lady, and I think that was a good attitude to have.
Right, and besides, us as human beings work on emotions quite a bit, for sure. So we're always constantly jumping the gun on a lot of situations here. So of what I heard, he was at a rally and he said these comments. So I have to look back on it one more time, but I thought he did say something about
jail. It's possible that he did. I'm just basing it on all the things I heard.
Yeah. Then again, he let time pass and then interview comes up. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to move forward. And again, we talked about it last week again, where we said that it's just only helped Trump. He had a lot of donations. It's only hurting Biden's popularity. And then we have the Hunter Biden case.
The question is, since this backfired, what are they planning now? They do not intend to let him take office.
Right.
Now, whether they'll succeed in their devious plans, I don't know, but they're planning something, and who knows what it's going to be next, because they've done just about everything you can possibly do to a man.
Right, exactly. So, tonight, let's talk about a few different stories that I'm not hearing a lot on news lately. So, first off, TJ Maxx, Marshalls, and Home Goods, they are all owned by the same company. They are now implementing body cameras to workers. The CEO has mentioned that this is going to start off with the item protection people at the stores. They'll stand at the doors to make sure no one's stealing things. I forgot what they call them. But they're still not allowed to put their hands on the people.
They're not allowed to stop them. They can just watch them better.
Yeah, exactly. So the body cameras just give them a better instinct of, okay, this person had this face, I guess, or something.
I think they should give them each a free Slurpee to 7-Eleven coupon.
Basically, at this point. And I don't know. To start implementing it to not even just them, but now other workers soon, the CEO did say, after a while, when more people are more comfortable, will add the body cameras to cashiers and other store associates.
See, this wasn't the job a lot of people signed on for. That's really totally unfair.
How much are they getting paid to do this?
Can't they just call the police and have the people arrested? Oh, no, because of our governor.
Exactly. And I get it. A lot of retail stores are shutting down so quickly left and right. I mean, not a retail store, but Red Lobster had to shut down so many stores too recently. It's a weird
one of my favorite restaurants. I loved Red Lobster.
I know everyone's going to say the Cheddar Bay biscuits and all that stuff.
They were really well, and the lobster too, obviously. But yeah, they did make biscuits just to die for.
Yeah, but nevertheless, I understand that retail stores are all experiencing some very hardship stuff, but this seems a little desperate to me to start implementing these body cameras, again, to workers who don't qualify for this eventually. And again, it's still not improving your business by any means by doing this, because again, you can't do anything about it. Don't put your hands on them. If you try to call the cops, it's going to be way too late. And then even then, who knows where those people are at this point. So I don't know. I think it's just a complete waste of time and a wrong strategy to be focusing on with your business. So now, a really big story that happened this past Friday, Google removed the Preview app.
I heard about that just yesterday.
Yeah, I heard about it yesterday morning, but they took it down Friday night, apparently. And Google Store has cited that it was promoting hate speech.
And apparently they were just sharing some testimonies of people who had been involved in militant Islam and left.
I was about to talk about that here in a second. So they released a short documentary film called Dear Infidels, A Warning to America. And in this documentary, it's about the individuals who escaped the oppressive Islamic reigns in the Middle East. Apparently, the documentary, I haven't seen it yet still, but has over 42 million views already. I'm surprised about that large of amount of views or that many people subscribing to PragerU. But then again, he's a very nationally syndicated guy who's on a lot of networks across America, not only just our station there that we have, but everywhere in America, basically. So the documentary features Ayman Abu Sabo, later Dor Shashar, a Palestinian who escaped from Israel from Gaza and the oppression of Hamas and later converted to Judaism, Sophia Salma Khalifa, an Arab Muslim born in Israel who moved to the U.S., and a number of U.S. military members. So it's a documentary.
Well, I'm sure Harvard will have these people come out as guest speakers to be a little more informative to the university.
Possibly.
Just so you understand a little better what you're all trying trying to protest against.
So apparently this movie was the reason why it got taken off for hate speech. Now, Google did cite that later on in that afternoon, around noonish yesterday, they did say they put the app back up onto the Google
Play. Oh, they have. So, well, good.
Yes, they have. Yes.
Now, what do you think motivated them to do that? Were they getting a lot of calls and bad press?
I bet so. And not only that, with the internet age these days, I bet a lot of what we call trolls were out there making some false accusation to make sure that the app was taken off in the first place. So I think this is a poor, poor judgment decision. Oh, by the way, just very quickly about Dennis Prager. I don't know how you feel about it. I think he is a very, very well-spoken individual who is very well.
He is my favorite person on the radio.
But here's my issue with him. He's slow. He's so slow to get through. I like Officer Tatum the most because he's got that energy. And again, just his way of thinking is just so amazing.
Well, I don't know. He does talk more slowly, certainly yes. More slowly than I do. But I hang on every word when I'm listening to him. I'm no less interested for his style.
If I was like his podcaster and he was pre-recorded, I'm cutting out all the gaps in between of his talking.
Yeah, but, podcast does give you a second chance on life. That's for sure.
Yeah. But again, I agree in the sense that I agree with everything he has to say and his viewpoints for sure. It's just I wish he presented it in a more energetic way.
What I like about him is when I talk to liberals and they're always raking against conservative talk radio, they'll usually say the one person they can stomach is Dennis Prager. Mm-hmm. Because he's very inviting, very disarming. He reasons it out with them a step. But I'm not saying he's the only one that does it, but
no, I am.
He is known as being one of the few who does it.
So you like the down-to-earth style that he brings.
I really love his down-to-earth style, and he's just very inviting and welcoming, and the guy's just brilliant. The guy speaks, I think, like 8 different languages. Mm-hmm. He's a symphony conductor. I mean, you talk about a renaissance man.
Right, and those Torah teachings are just so amazingly interesting.
He's incredible. Yeah. The only thing he's ever said on the radio that I've had a problem with, well, 2 things.
Okay.
He said that Biden won the last election fair and square. The guy is so brilliant. I don't know why he wasn't using that skill set on that. And then he's given comments on Christian apologetics, and he's a great defender of Christianity, even though he's not a Christian.
Right.
He's certainly a friend to Christians. And he says apologetics he doesn't like because it takes away from the beauty of faith. Well, if we're defining faith as something that we just choose to believe, even though we have no reason to, I don't see anything beautiful about that. And the other thing is, when he's not using the word apologetics, and some atheist calls in and tells him he doesn't think God exists, Prager gives all kinds of arguments for the existence of God. So he's using apologetics anyway, but this phrase, it takes away from the beauty of faith. We don't need apologetics. Obviously, as a Christian apologist, I had some thoughts about that, but with all these years I've been listening to him, that's really, really minor stuff. I give the guy an A+ still.
Yeah, I agree. Me personally, when it comes to talk radio, I like energy. I need to keep up with everything, and that includes podcasts too, and I do appreciate your podcast. I feel like you do have that energy and that
flamboyance. I try to.
Yeah, exactly, and I think it keeps me engaged with the topic. And again, maybe it's just me because a lot of people seem to like this guy a lot too. But and I like Mike Gallagher.
Well, you're on a lot of my podcasts, Brendan, so that keeps you engaged.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe a little egotistical there too. I enjoy like Matt Gallagher too. He's got that energy behind him. I think he's a very good mix between the Officer Tatum energy and the down-to-earth style.
Now, with Sean Hannity, and I like him, I respect him, I admire him, but he is so repetitive. And I have to say, we all get repetitive at times, but whenever Hannity's talking about the weaponized FBI, I know what he's going to say. Now, I don't mean the rank and file. I don't mean the rank and file. And I'm like, Sean, we get it. Yeah. We get it. You just mean the ones running. So he repeats those things a lot. Also, when he interviews his guests, he'll ask a question and then answer it about 5 times before they've even had a chance to.
It's true. I think for the rank and file situation, it's because people nitpick him so much. They'll cut words out of his mouth and he needs to reiterate.
I know
that
he needs to say it, and I'll even grant him that he needs to say it again from time to time, but it's every single time.
It's true. Did you hear what happened with the PragerU app last week, actually, with a public school board?
No, this one I did not hear about.
Okay, so earlier last week, PragerU videos were now allowed in a public school system in Louisiana, and then out of all the people to go ahead and criticize this, it was the Council on American Islamic Relations. Oh boy. This is a group that's known to have their fair share of controversy surrounding...
They have connections with terrorists.
Exactly. And I was going to go through some of the examples super quick, but you probably already heard these.
That's like, okay. Our audience
Yeah. Following Hamas's October 7th attack on Israel, many of the leaders defended or justified the unprecedented terror assaults and argued it was a legitimate right of the Palestinians to resist the occupation. There was also...
What occupation? Israel had pulled out of there in 2005.
Right, exactly. And then Nahad Awad, which is the executive director of the program, claimed that Israel did not have a right to defend itself, which we've heard in...
Oh, we heard it right here in this studio in my debate last fall.
Exactly. More, I think, egregious is Zahara Billow, the San Francisco Bay Area executive director. She claimed that Zionists are our enemies, specifically. She said that in quotes.
Well, and that's the thing. See, this vile hatred toward Israel, this stated plan to conquer the world, which groups like Hamas will state, and then somebody exposes them and the people exposing them get accused of hate speech, they are the ones that have the hate speech.
Exactly. And yet Biden's promoting the CAIR constantly in his own press
conference.
Biden's
thinking about his voting bloc.
That's it.
By the way, did you hear that Biden renounced the International Criminal Court's warrant for Benjamin Netanyahu?
No, I did not hear this.
Now, I was pleasantly surprised to hear that, but he's going to get so much pressure, I wouldn't be surprised if he reverses course on that like he's reversed course on everything else. He just equivocates constantly.
Yeah, and again, we talked about earlier how he switches one position just like that in a blink of an eye.
Yeah.
Do you think he was doing that just to get voter in?
Well, that's the problem with the way the Democratic Party is made up. We've talked about this before. There's still a lot of liberal Jews that are Democrats. Now, a lot of them are leaving, but a lot of them are still there. And so Biden wants to be pro-Israel, even for these liberal leftist Jews, and they're fellow Jews, as I say that. I'm Jewish, too. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you have the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez wing and the Rashida Tlaib wing and what's going on the campuses. So he's trying to please the Hamas supporters, and he's also trying to please the Jews, both of whom make up the Democratic Party. He's trying to please everybody. He's pleasing nobody.
Right.
And that's one of the reasons he's plummeting in the polls, aside from the fact that he's a bumbling moron
that's a
and a pathological liar. But yeah, we're going to bring up those things.
Yeah. One last thing I was going to mention, too, was the CAIR also described PragerU as an anti-Muslim propaganda group. PragerU, which has a history of spreading historical propaganda and Islamophobia, is not a reputable source of information about anything and has no place in a public school curriculum.
Dennis Prager has gone on record to say he believes there are peaceful Muslims. He's talking about the violent ones. Mm-hmm.
Including PragerU content would create a dangerous and disruptive environment, especially for Black and Muslim students. We urge Louisiana Department of Education to reject this partnership. Mind you, there's 25,000 Muslims that live in the state, which make up of 1% of Louisiana. And on top of that, it's not trying to attack those people, like you said. It's only attacking the violent.
Yeah, ones. Now, here's something that I'll say that I don't know if you'll hear Prager say. I think the violent Muslims are actually reading what the Quran says, and I think the peaceful ones don't know their own religion. But however we want to proportion it,
right?
There are peaceful Muslims in the world, and it is the violent ones that we're renouncing.
Exactly, yeah. Something good about the public school system, they're actually spreading the truth inside our public school system in Louisiana. I'm surprised about that. And all
I'm not surprised that they're doing it in Louisiana. I'd faint if they were doing it in California.
That'd be the last thing I expected. All right, so we're going to take a quick commercial break, but after this, we're going to talk about San Diego specifically. I got a couple of stories based in San Diego that I think you might
find. And lately, the San Diego news hasn't been too stellar.
No, it hasn't. And unfortunately, I'm going to leave it like unstellar, okay. I guess.
All right. Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric, Incorporated, license number 480539, W&S Electric.
Hi, I'm Bob Siegel, here to talk about my latest book, The Many Myths About Ministry. As you know, I'm a Christian apologist, but let me tell you something. In my many years of interactions with skeptics, doubters, and even seekers, I have found that the vast majority of their problems with Christianity stem from previous church experiences. Yes, what's more, many of their concerns are valid and serve as inspiration for this book. While defending the truth of the Bible and the importance of the gospel message, I nevertheless take an honest look at the way Christians interact with each other. From the larger issues of putting our leaders on too high a pedestal, to the unfair judging of the way another person worships, to the unsolicited advice which claims to have been led by the Spirit of God. Of course, and I do believe the Spirit of God speaks, I do, but a lot of times Christians are putting words in his mouth. Who are we kidding? My friends, this simple, easy read will strike a chord of familiarity with anyone involved in church life. It's a call to lay aside the unimportant issues that distract us and return to the heart of Christian community.
The Many Myths About Ministry by Bob Siegel, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Say hello again to Brendan Thomas.
Well, it is the summertime now, Bob. As of right now, it's June, which means the beginning of summer, and you know what
we're
that
well
means.
We're well into June already.
Exactly. As of this recording, it's June 9th. With summer about it with us comes summer internship programs, and I was one of those people back in the day that did summer internship programs over at another radio station, and I had a blast.
A radio station that needs to remain unnamed?
Because they are a different company, yes, okay. Unfortunately. But yes, I worked at another radio station. I learned how to program. I learned all these cool things. And now here I am with you.
It was KC, those other guys.
Yeah. Right? Something like, or KF, yada, yada, if you know what I'm going to go with. So because of that, a lot of internship programs are happening with college students. And one in particular is happening with us at the city of San Diego. But this one's actually causing some controversy behind it. There is an internship that was allowed for a daughter of the San Diego mayor's top aide, which raised questions about the city's nepotism policy and recruitment policies as well. So the job is funded through a program designed to introduce unserved youth to public service careers, and it does not violate city rules, the city says as well, based on this whole thing. So it sounds already fishy when you have to word it this way, it seems like, but well,
yeah, they protesteth too much.
So a spokesperson for the mayor said the young woman won the job without any help from her mother, Glorious Chief of Staff Pawala Avila. Once again, if you have to word it that way again, yeah, speak of too much. The placement complies with all city employment policies because the intern does not report directly to her mother, the mayor's office said. Yeah, right. I don't believe you for a second. I bet the mom has a direct line to make sure that she got into this internship. Simona Rutterman, a political science major at Northeastern University in Boston, began working in the mayor's office last month, working 35 hours a week and being paid $21 an hour. Seems like a fair price for an internship program to me, because I was doing a paid
internship.
For $21
an hour, she could get a good job at McDonald's.
Something like that, yeah. But you know, who doesn't have to pay that way? Panera, because, you know.
They're right, okay. Right, yeah. Right.
So, the same salary of all city summer interns are paid to answer phones, respond to constant emails, and perform any other task that is needed, a spokesperson for the mayor said by email. Meryl's spokesperson Rachel Lane said Rutterman won the job through normal processes by applying through the city's internship coordinator, who reports to the mayor's deputy chief of staff. The normal processes.
The mayor could say, hey, there's no pressure, just follow your conscience. So couldn't they feel the pressure anyway, even if it's not stated?
I can't tell you how many application processes I've gone through where it says, are you related or do you have any family members that work within our company? There's a reason why they ask that question.
Even so, out of all the people in our state, and I'm a big believer in internships, and I had an internship when I was in college, there are so many people that need an opportunity like that. There's already a certain amount of privilege if somebody's the daughter.
Right.
Couldn't they just give that to somebody else?
I agree. And keep in mind, she was using help from a program for people that were in need specifically, not ones that are getting paid really well money to be the direct aide of the mayor specifically. She also said similar positions are still available. Yeah, right. I doubt they're still available at this point, because apparently they said all the positions are filled up later on in this story. And on top of that, they said, but we are looking to hire through this internship program. We still have 16 more slots left. I wonder who's one of those 16 slots are going to go to, per se. Elaine also said that the placement complies with the city's nepotism rules, because this nepotism rule is so vague in our city's, what would you call it? Like, just set of rules, I guess you can call them, because they're not officially laws.
You mean guidelines rather than
guidelines.
Rules? Is that the word you're looking for?
That's the word I'm looking for. Guidelines. Yeah. The city has no policy prohibiting relatives from working in the same office. The code of conduct addresses favoritism, and both the hiring process and supervision of this intern is fully adhered to this policy. So here's what I'm going to say. Once again, I don't mind if you're a city employee and your sister is working beside you. That's fine.
There's a balance. We don't want to say you can never work with somebody in your family.
My issue, again, is because, again, this is a program for kids in need. And once again, there's a direct relationship in that sense.
Yeah, you just have to think of the many people that weren't able to qualify for this job.
Exactly. So the name of this project is called the Employee Empower Project, and it's funded through an $18.5 million award that the city received in 2022 from California Volunteers, a program based in the governor's office that also oversees the state AmeriCorps effort. The program's priority will be given to applicants from communities of concern who are low income, unemployed, justice involved, and foster care, or have experienced substance use or mental health issues. So that's what it says in the frequently asked questions about the programs section there. The mayor's office did not respond to the questions about whether Ruderman meet those elements of the employer empower qualifications. You know why, probably, because she was able to skirt around the whole situation. City policies does not prohibit married couples, relatives, or parents and their children from working together, even in the same office. So once again, here we are again. We should be a little bit more strict on these rules. Again,
maybe it's not technically violating a rule, but appearance and fairness, I think those would be the issues.
Exactly. It's skirting around the whole thing. And I hate it when politicians even do this in the first place. Oh, well, the law doesn't say this, so I was allowed to do this campaign funding situation, when we know what you're doing is a complete scam and you're using our money for something that's completely unnecessary and you're just wasting our time. So the code of conduct says supervisors cannot participate in or recommend the appointment of an immediate family member or a person with whom the employee has a close personal or business relationship. The policy also says supervisors may not directly supervise immediate family members, influence the approval of any employee reward or immediate family members, or recommend or influence any contractor or business to employ a member of their immediate family. So what they're basically saying here is the mother didn't contact the mayor to say, oh, you should hire her as the intern based on this rule here. But I don't know. Something about it, again, seems so fishy about it. And if you didn't want that fishiness smell coming around this whole policy, you shouldn't have put her as an intern there at your office, is all I'm going to say.
Something too. Smells in Denmark. Denmark gets a bad rap because it usually smells in California these days.
Yeah, so now something smells fishy in California, or San Diego specifically. I do have one more story about our mayor, our wonderful, wonderful Mayor Gloria. By the way, how is he so ahead in the polls when we were doing the early voting earlier this year? It amazes me. It shocks me that he was that high up in terms of poll numbers.
Well, it can be argued that a lot of the people that don't like what's going on are just leaving the state and aren't around to take polls or
vote. It's possible. I mean, again, last week I told you that we were the number one city with the most people leaving in And it's slightly shocked me, but at the Morris point, I'm not surprised because, again, our mayor was just doing terrible, terrible things after another to try to fix issues. But these issues were just getting worse and worse under his watch. And yet he's still so high in the polls. I just don't get it. Anyways, he's wanting to propose a 1,000-bed homeless shelter. And obviously, the city of San Diego has been very opposed to this whole situation. The proposed budget for 20...
No, wait, when you say the city has been opposed...
The city
officials
residents.
Or... Okay.
No, residents.
Residents, okay, now, when they're polling.
I bet the officials
so
are...
So here's a poll where he's not popular.
Yes, obviously. Exactly, here. And as I bet city officials love this guy because he's going hand-in-hand with whatever they're saying, or there's some kind of money donation situation that's going on between everybody there. So.
Well, I've said often, I think the day's going to come when people are going to be forced out of their own homes and we're going to be letting homeless people live in
basically,
their houses.
Yeah.
I think that's where we're headed.
You talked about it last month about squatters.
Squatters.
And again...
And during COVID, the government was commandeering hotels. Mm-hmm. That's just one step away from kicking you out of your own residence.
Not to mention how slow our law process is to get those squatters out of there, to mention that part.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The proposed budget for 2025 includes a $200 million request to address housing and homelessness in the city. So that right there, I'm like, okay, because we've been expressing, that was my number two thing with the city. Let's deal with this homelessness issue. $200 million is quite a bit of money, but if it's effective, I'm going to go behind you, Gloria. So what do you have in mind? His project includes building a safe parking lot near the San Diego International Airport, known as the H Barracks site, and a 1,000-bed shelter at the intersection of Kettner Boulevard and Vine Street. I don't know about you, but that intersection there is really, really dangerous. Right next to the San Diego International Airport, those people drive insane. I literally am holding on to dear life at 10 and 2 o'clock on my wheel. I usually am like underneath, relaxed, you know, everything. When I get to San Diego International Airport, I am hands-on, strict. I'm holding on for dear life, and I'm like, I am not moving in this lane. I'm not
it's
moving to this lane.
Very high maintenance driving there.
It is. It is. So imagine being a pedestrian walking around there. I can't even imagine it. It must be really, really scary at that point. But anyways, so here are some of the concerns. A, there's a lack of collaboration approach to this whole project. They say the city's going to fund this entire thing. When they say the city's going to fund this entire thing, who do you think they're talking about specifically?
We.
Yeah.
The humble taxpayers.
There's not one construction group that's willing to say, we'll donate, we'll help to this project. Ask around first before you start willy-dillying our tax dollars behind this. Do you know why we have a budget deficit, Mr. Mayor? It's because you're jumping the gun on this whole project. Wait, 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 and ask around first before you start, oh, let's just do this, this, and this with our money, because we have the money right now. And then there's also a weird thing here too. They have a 35-year lease with this space. I've never heard of a 35-year lease. It's usually a 5-year lease. Where's a 35-year lease coming
from?
Some
leases, like for offices, are only for a year.
Exactly. I never heard of a 35-year lease, but apparently this land that we are going to be using is going to give us a 35-year lease if we decide to go with the proposal.
From homelessness to a 35-year lease, only in America.
That's right. Another thing that's weird, it's $2.45 per square foot. The average rate in city of San Diego is $1.50 per square foot. So they're upcharging us even more for that area. I don't know whether to blame inflation rates, and that's on Todd Gloria's fault for the city's inflation rates for that matter, or if I'm here to blame the fact that he's just so quick on the gun. Oh, I want to buy this because we have the money right now and it's tax dollars. We'll get some more tax dollars later in the year. And we'll also fix the budget where I can have higher rates, but I'll cut some budgets out of other people's.
You know what I like about this city lately?
What's that?
Nothing.
Well, the weather. I will say Yes, I'll give the weather some credit. But infrastructure-wise, nah, too many potholes still on the ground. Oh, how about our city government? Nah, they're just too corrupt right now. I'm sorry. I don't like them too much. So there's a lot of issues with our city, unfortunately. They also mentioned how small business owners in that area are going to be impacted by the homelessness coming to that community. I couldn't agree more. Every time I see a homeless person in front of a store, I'm like, I think I'll just go a couple more blocks down the road and I'll go find something else to eat or go somewhere else to shop with my money. Also, I just mentioned this earlier. It's a dangerous intersection where cars are known to be going too fast. Accidents, injuries, and deaths have often occurred at. So again, once again, I'm just saying, if you're going to put this here, you better put some more law enforcement in the area to mind the speed of some people and to make sure that area is a little bit safer to drive around. But I doubt that the city is going to be even listening to my words for that matter. Gloria's office responded saying that due to it being a proposal, everything can be negotiated and all concerns will be listened to and considered. That's...
That's like where they point you to the complaint department and it's a sign on a wastebasket.
One of my favorite ones is there's this factory worker and he's writing down his complaints. He says, here's my complaint. I'll put it in the complaint folder. So he opens up, it's like a little mailbox, and he puts it in. He looks inside. Hey, wait, that's just a fireplace. He goes, yeah, that's how we warm the building, basically.
Yeah, California Politics 105. Whenever a politician feels like really doing their job and helping people, they lay down until the feeling goes away.
That's right. There's another one that I like. Family Guy made a good joke with indecisive voters and basically he goes, what are you going to do with the city budget this year? And he goes, that's a really good question. You always think a good question. Oh, I like him so much. He listens to me so well. And they always vote for him. And
So
there will be another city council session about this. That's going to be happening Monday, which is tomorrow, where they're going to be talking about specifically just the 1,000-bed shelter. I'm assuming the city council meetings happen at the same usual spots. So you can look up online to find the address if you want to voice your concerns. But there was plenty of people giving examples. And also, I think they also, out of all the city councils in all the county of San Diego, they give you the least amount of time to speak. I think they only give you 1-minute sessions and that's it. It depends on those kind of meetings. I think I like the more talking times because I like hearing people express their ideas, whether it be good or bad, but at least you're expressing them fully and that should give you an amount of
I went to one of those meetings with the Board of Supervisors a couple of years ago. It was an online meeting, or at least I was online. And yeah, I think I only had a minute, if even that long.
Right. Were you? Was this during COVID, I'm assuming, or no?
It was, I don't think COVID was completely over yet, but it wasn't in the thralls of COVID.
So it was just at the beginning.
It had to do with them expanding the name of women and putting men on women's sports teams. Some of us were protesting against that.
Was that in El Cajon? Or was that a...
It was the San Diego Board of Supervisors, the county Board of Supervisors.
County. Okay, gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
So it wasn't a city meeting, technically. It was a county meeting.
Gotcha. Those guys are a real big blast of joy and fun, let me tell you. Yeah. Well, again, I think... Overall, again, this whole story, I appreciate the fact that, yes, this is going to affect homelessness and fix one side of an issue, but 1,000 beds and a small cramped parking spot area, that's asking a lot. You're basically packing them in like sardines in there, and that's only a Band-Aid over the issue. There's still tons of people that are homeless. I'm going to look up the results right now to see how many homeless people live in San Diego.
Well, and there are many different reasons why people are homeless. Some people just have bad luck. Other people are lazy and don't want to work. You don't want to paint one brush over all of them. But we do need to ask the question, is it the tax person's responsibility? Are our tax dollars responsible to fix this problem?
Right, right. I remember there was a Morgan Spurlock show back in the day called, I think it's called 60 Days or 30 Days, one of the two. And basically, he would try different things out for 30 straight days. And one of those was homelessness. And one fact that surprised me was there was a person that said, I don't want to pay taxes. I don't want to live in a house and have to pay for things. There's other people that are providing that for me. So I want to be homeless.
Oh, I've met people who've said, oh, you're a Christian. Can you help me out? I'm just kind of hitchhiking. I don't have a roof over my head. And I'll say things like, well, I was just at this restaurant that was hiring. You could probably go get a job. What? Me? Compromise my standards by working for this imperialistic capitalist? And so I'm going, okay. Now, I've been to Tijuana and I've seen families that live in garbage dumps.
Right.
Through no fault of their own. That's poverty. Those are people that need help. It's not the same as the guy that just doesn't want to work. So it's like I said, there are homeless and there are homeless. And I don't think we should just be putting it all in one basket and charging our tax dollars.
I agree. I just looked it up. By the way, we have about a little over 10,000 people that are homeless in San Diego, which means that this is only considering 10% of the homelessness. And again, there might be some open beds here and there, possibly. Maybe some people don't even want to be involved in this whole situation. Fine. But at the same time, this is a Band-Aid. We got to have an actual solution at some point in our city. And it's just going to get worse and worse. And my prediction, I mean, this is pretty obvious. If we still have Todd Gloria as our mayor, the problem's just going to get worse and worse, in my
opinion. Well, and then sometimes there are mental, emotional, psychological reasons why people are on the streets, too. And we need to address it from that point of view.
Yeah. Well, Bob, thank you so much for this wonderful conversation.
Brendan, great subjects, even though some of them are depressing. But like we said last week, you're not writing the news. You're just sharing the
news. That's right. So. Yeah. I'll find some positive stories at some point in my life.
It's a little hard here in San Diego right now.
Yeah. Bob Siegel Show is sponsored in part by the law offices of Matthew Simone.